true interest. And up until the time we have these interest-based economic models, rest assured, the poor and the less fortunate and the destitute, they're not going to get their rights. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
According to a latest version of a long-running study from Brown University, the U.S. federal government has to date spent $5.84 trillion in current dollars on the so-called War on Terror. This is over $16,000 for every single American, or $64,000 for a family of four. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by John Schwartz, writer. This article is published under the heading, What U.S. Could Have Bought After 9/11 Instead of Invading Afghanistan. Stay tuned for more. According to a latest version of a long-running study from Brown University, the U.S. federal government has to date spent $5.84 trillion in current dollars on the so-called War on Terror. This is over $16,000 for every single American, or $64,000 for a family of four. Brown's estimate is the most conservative way possible of measuring the costs of U.S. wars. It does not include the most important price, the death, dismemberment, and emotional devastation of 20 years of ultra-violence. It does not include the additional $2.2 trillion that the study concludes the United States is committed to spending on care for veterans of the wars in the future. It does not include the spending by U.S. allies, nor the cost incurred by American state and local governments. Nonetheless, let's take $5.84 trillion as a starting point to imagine what the U.S. could have had if they had never invested, literally and figuratively, in the so-called War on Terror. If there is one national project that would have matched the cost and scale of a global straddling war, it was reconstructing the U.S. economy so that it would not generate the global warming emissions that are inexorably destroying a livable biosphere. One core component of this is decarbonizing the electrical grid. This would require creating a truly national electrical system, one that is capable of transporting renewable energy from where it's generated anywhere in the U.S. to where it's needed. It's a huge challenge, as illustrated by one estimate of the cost if they got started now, $4.5 trillion. This can't be compared precisely to creating such a grid beginning in 2001. On the one hand, many of the necessary technologies were far less developed then. On the other hand, those same technologies would have developed far more quickly if the U.S. had focused its scientific powers on them instead of figuring out how to target people in the mountains of Pakistan for death, via drones piloted from an airbase in Nevada. Creating a decarbonized grid would have also spawned entire American industries whose products the rest of the world would have been eager to buy. Then let's throw in planting 1 trillion trees around the world, especially in the tropics. This would have sequestered a significant chunk of the carbon that human activities have put into the atmosphere, giving them more time to head off the worst effects of global warming. While this would also be a gigantic project and have to be done carefully, it's also far cheaper, with the cost around $300 billion. If we assume that the U.S. would have to cover the whole price tag for a worldwide project, that totals $4.8 trillion. This is obviously a lot of money, but it also would have been an investment that, unlike decades of war and destruction and death, would have paid enormous dividends in the future. The climate crisis will have enormous costs for Americans and the world, ones that will far outstrip those of any actions we take to slow it. It also could have left Americans with a bit more than $1 trillion to spend. The next obvious place to put this amount of cash would have been toward the creation of high-quality universal health care. There are many estimates of how much a Medicare for All system would cost, some of which find that it would be slightly more expensive than the current U.S. decadent health system, and some of which find that it would cost less. No one can know who is right, but if the think tank Rand is in the right ballpark, universal healthcare would have cost the U.S. an additional $1 trillion over the past 20 years. With $1 trillion going toward healthcare, there would still be some pocket change left over, about $40 billion. This would almost cover the estimated $50 billion cost of snuffing out the COVID-19 pandemic, with a campaign of vaccinations and tracing in a short time frame. The International Monetary Fund believes that this would lead to about $9 trillion in increased economic activity, that is, a return on investment of over 3,000%. It's excruciating to look at these facts and face the reality that Americans chose death and destruction over life 20 years ago and have been choosing it ever since. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily around the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat, or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is Iran. This ancient land with its brilliant past have weathered the hurricanes of time throughout history. Once a homeland for great scientists, the country has learned to explore the world of science and push back the boundaries on its own, climbing up the summits of knowledge and technology to the astonishment of the world to show that this land can once again be a home to great scientists in the modern world. Like their ancestors, this nation will remain steadfast in their attempts towards the lofty pinnacles of science and technology. Iran, the land of knowledge.
توانستیم سانتریفیوژ های توبیولاری که مورد نیاز بخش سلامت بود.
We have managed to provide the health sector with tubular centrifuges. The sector was in need of them, but for years it was unable to have them as machines with dual function. The health sector uses these centrifuges in producing vaccines for human beings and animals.
در تولید واکسن های دامی و انسانی استفاده بکن.
اطمینانی که ما بعد از تولیدات سازمان انرژی
The confidence we had in Pasteur Institute of Iran after the production of the centrifuges by the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran was the confidence of any country in possession of them. They are a source of national pride and assure us that we can meet the country's needs with domestic products with more confidence and higher precision and at a more reasonable price.
اطمینان بیشتر و دقت بالاتر
و خوشبختانه در سطح بین المللی.
Fortunately, we are receiving orders from abroad. Of course, we are at the outset, but there is a bright outlook for us in this regard.
ولی چشمانداز بسیار روشنی در این خصوص داریم.
Hello there. This machine is a tubular centrifuge, or a health centrifuge, designed and manufactured by the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran last year. Thank God, this success has made the country independent of foreigners and has helped the health system a lot, while the country is still under sanctions and experiencing resistance economy. Today, thanks to the efforts of our statesmen and the good management of the country's leadership, Sanctions are no longer casting their ominous shadows on this nation, but we are still duty-bound to have a progressive, developed, and independent country. We aim to design and manufacture two types of centrifuges with the most advanced technology for medical usage.
با آخرین تکنولوژی در سطح جهان رو طراحی و تولید بکنیم.
This machine is the ultra centrifuge. It has a vital role in research and the manufacture of vaccines for human beings and livestock. It's also useful to isolate RNA and DNA when necessary. Since the most advanced technology is required for making this kind of centrifuge, only a handful of countries are able to make them. Countries such as the United States of America, Germany, South Korea, and last but not least, Japan.
مثل آمریکا، آلمان، کره جنوبی و البته ژاپن.
بله، خیلی متشکرم. بفرمایید.
Well, thank you very much. Given the fact that Pasteur Institute of Iran is in need of this advanced centrifuge, we are going to design and produce one version of it. The same goes for this one.
و همینطور این دستگاه رو. آقای مهندس توضیح می‌فرمایید؟
بله چشم. این دستگاه که چالش بسیار بزرگی برای ماست اسمش سانتریفیوژ زوناله.
My pleasure. This machine, which is a great challenge for us, is called the zonal centrifuge and is used in the mass production of vaccines. It's sad to say we have no sample of this machine in the country. And all our information about this machine is confined to these few photos and the machine's usage. This machine enjoys a very advanced technology to an extent that only two countries can make it, the United States of America and Japan. It must be noted that the Netherlands is also making this machine, but a limited number of them, and again by the same American company.
Well, thank you. Trusting in God and our experts' knowledge and abilities, we are pursuing greater purposes. We aim to build a centrifuge so as to sell in overseas markets and take one more big step in both the technology and the economy of our country, Iran.
This is Iran, the land of scientists who sacrifice their lives in defense of their national sovereignty. And now they're inheritors of knowledge at their service to the greater glory of their land, and stand to the very end like high rocky cliffs over the great mountains of their ancestors' achievements.
Given that the tubular centrifuge has the same mechanism as other centrifuges, would you explain more about your new design?
Dear doctor, I have to say that this machine, like other machines, needs a driving force so as to be able to spin the rotor at a speed of 50,000 rotations per minute. In order to supply such a driving force, we have a specific electronic engine, which has been designed by our own experts and personnel.
Well, what advantages does this engine you just mentioned have in comparison with other engines?
Doctor, this engine helps the machine have more dynamic stability at high speed.
Doctor, مثل همه سانتریفیوژ ها بخش دوم دستگاه روتور دستگاه است
که like all other centrifuges, the second part of the machine is its rotor. Thanks to the machine's design, rotors of different size and geometric shape can be used to process different types of materials. For the third part, this machine is equipped with a vacuum system and some sensors so that the machine can work in a vacuum. The fourth part is the machine's cooling system to keep the rotor's temperature stable. The fifth part is the machine's control or monitoring system. In addition to controlling normal parameters and alarming the user when an error occurs in the machine, this part has the ability to have a record of machine's performance in memory. Things like the name and the number of the rotor, the type of the raw material, and the type of the process material. If the user inputs this information to the machine, this part can remind the user of that information. In a nutshell, the machine is programmable.
به طور کلی خدمتتون بخوام عرض بکنم دستگاه برنامه پذیره.
آقای مهندس امیدوارم طراحی شما
I hope that your design is so that we will face no problem in the mass production of the machine.
با مشکل مواجه نشیم.
باید خدمت شما عرض بکنم آقای دکتر.
I'd like to assure you doctor that we have made every effort and we are sure that we'll have no problem in this regard.
من هستیم که به مشکلی بر نمیخوریم.
آقای دکتر، اگه بخوام دستگاه اولتراسنتریفیوژ رو
دکتر، as for the ultracentrifuge, in short, I have to say that the machine is like other centrifuges, but with research purposes. It is made up of 5 parts, and you can see on the board the schematic diagrams of each one separately. As you can see, it has a case with a sliding door, inside which the machine's rotor is located. The system spins at a speed of 50,000 rotations per minute. It's made of titanium and has a capacity of 8 13.5cc containers. The third is the machine's vacuum and leak detection system, because the isolation process is done in a vacuum. The fourth is the machine's cooling system, which can regulate the temperature of the machine's rotor from minus 5 degrees to 40 degrees centigrade with a radiator and sensors. And finally, the machine's control system that monitors the machine's performance with an input program and a set of built-in sensors.
Are you making this very machine right now?
No, we are not. For instance, the machine's monitoring system can have 20 programs separately so that it can let the user choose whatever items he or she wants and without changing the general setting of the machine.
Look, the changes you have made in the machine are very useful. It will enhance the machine's precision and speed. But I want to know about the phase you are at right now.
Well, to be honest, at the moment we have designed the machine's monitoring system and its components, and we're making the sample components so as to assemble them with a higher degree of certainty after having them tested. The monitoring system is being tested for defects.
Well, well done.
Merci, ma'am.
Thank you.
خیلی متشکرم.
ما تقاضاهای دیگری رو از وزارت بهداشت دریافت کردیم مبنی بر
We received other orders from the Ministry of Health so as to provide the ministry, as well as pharmaceutical and vaccine-making companies belonging to the ministry, with the required advanced equipment. Among those advanced equipment, there are 2 very advanced centrifuges. One is called the ultracentrifuge and the other the zonal centrifuge.
یکی سنتریفیوژ اولترا و یکی هم سنتریفیوژ زونال.
Progress what all societies around the world have to make if they want to have a better and brighter future. But is social progress possible without a healthy society? And perhaps nothing better than prevention can guarantee public health. That's why prevention is achievable only through knowledge, technology, and experience.
خوشبختانه
Fortunately, the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran helped us out and went for both machines. That is the ultracentrifuge, which is for more complex purposes in comparison with the tubular centrifuge and the zonal centrifuge. We hope that the organization will be successful as usual and the result be used in Pasteur Institute of Iran.
These two centrifuges enjoy complicated technical parameters, and just a few numbers of countries have managed to make them. As for the zonal centrifuge, the information our experts had was not even enough for reverse engineering, and as a consequence, they had to carry out themselves the conceptual design, then the initial design, and finally the detailed design. We consider it as a great achievement.
مقدماتی و تفصیلی رو انجام بدم که این رو ما یک دستاورد بسیار بزرگ میدونیم زمان آن رسیده که از دانش ایجاد شده و اون
It's time to use the generated knowledge and the accumulated experience gained at the Atomic Energy Organization over years in other sectors like industry, agriculture and health system.
و بخش سلامت استفادهای لازم رو ببریم.
With the support of the Atomic Energy Organization, we can share our technology with other countries with more confidence than before. And when they ask us if we can give them the machine's components, we answer yes, we are prepared to provide you with them unconditionally.
We consider these two new machines, namely the zonal and the ultra centrifuges, as a great achievement because we were denied of both of them.
بومی شدن این دانش باعث میشه که به تدریج تمام حوزه‌هایی که
Now we have this centrifuge knowledge at home, so we ourselves can meet the need of all in need of centrifugation technology. This issue will increase our security. And since the source of supply is at home, it will be fully in line with our resistance economy. Now we are among the world actors in this field and can start exporting our products. On the other hand, the health system will be assured that all its needs will be met without any problem.
I'm happy to say that our experts' achievement has enhanced our status in both technology and health considerably.
بنا به توصیه مؤکد مقام معظم رهبری در ارتباط با اقتصاد مقاومتی امروز که
In accordance with the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran's strong emphasis on resistance economy, today we have given the centrifuges to the Ministry of Health. God willing, I hope that this step will help the country's health sector in doing research and making new drugs. I would like to congratulate the Iranian nation on this achievement. And I would like to thank all experts and engineers at the Atomic Energy Organization from the bottom of my heart. I would also like to thank our friends in the Ministry of Health for putting their trust in us and letting us know about their needs, and today we have met their needs satisfactorily.
Since Noah is at the helm, do not be afraid of the storm.
در صدد تأمین تجهیزات پیشرفته بخش‌های مختلف از چه صنعت.
We are going to supply advanced equipment to various fields like industry, agriculture and health. We will have constant good news in the future, and whenever we have a considerable achievement, we will certainly let the great nation know so as to make them happy. And those who were not well-wishers should know that this solid nation, this determined nation, will fulfill whatever it wishes.
این ملت استوار، این ملت با اراده، هر آنچه را که اراده بکند، یقیناً محقق می‌کند.
First of Safar, the triumph of Islam in enemy's court. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Hello, dear listeners, and condolences to you all on the anniversary of a sad occasion. Today is the first of the month of Safar, the fateful day on which survivors of the heartrending tragedy of Karbala were brought in chains and fetters to the court of the tyrant Yazid in Damascus in the year 61 AH. There was only one grown-up male among these noble prisoners of the progeny of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He was the 23-year-old, sick and weak, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, the son and successor of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, assisted by his brave aunt, Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her. Stay with us for a special feature in this regard. People, we have been granted by God six things and favored with seven. We have been granted knowledge, clemency, leniency, eloquence, courage, and love for us in the hearts of the believers. We have been favored by the fact that from among us came the chosen prophet, Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, the As-Siddiq, or the most truthful one, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the At-Tayyar, that is, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, whom God has granted wings to fly in paradise on the loss of both of his hands in the Battle of Mutah, the Lion of Allah and of the Prophet, that is, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, the noblest lady of the world, Fatima the Chaste, and the two lords of the youths of paradise, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. The passage which we just recited to you is part of a brilliantly eloquent sermon delivered by Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, to introduce himself and the noble captives of the Prophet's household, peace be upon them, to the unsuspecting people of Syria. The people had assembled at the court of the tyrant Yazid, who reluctantly gave permission to the son of his victim to go onto the pulpit and address the gathering. While the severed head of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, lay in a tray in front of the wine-drinking, self-styled caliph of the usurper Umayyad regime. These are among the tragic events of the first of Safar, on which, after a long wait at the Bab al-Tumah of Damascus, so the streets could be decorated and fitted with mirrors, the members of the Holy Prophet's household, or the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, were paraded in ropes and fetters to the court of the tyrant through the marketplace, with the heads of martyrs mounted on lancers. Yazid, with a wine goblet in one hand, and in the other hand a cane which he blasphemously poked at the head of the Prophet's grandson, rejoiced at the seemingly miserable condition of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. He thought he had finally succeeded in fulfilling the wishes of his father, Muawiyah, and his grandfather, Abu Sufyan, in wiping out Islam. With a crucifix given by his adulterous mother, Maysoon, dangling from his neck, he said in an exalted tone, "The Hashemites had played the game of kingdom. Neither any message descended from heaven, nor was there any revelation." He next uttered more anti-Islamic phrases, as recorded by scholars of all Muslim denominations, by wishing that his infidel ancestors, who were slain while trying to attack the Prophet of Islam in the battles of Badr and Uhud, were alive this day to witness how he had humiliated the household of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them, the son of Abdullah of the Hashemite clan. They would have commended him. By uttering these blasphemous words, Yazid thus openly admitted that he was not a Muslim. And by doing so, he also exposed as un-Islamic the faulty system of caliphate, which had started at Saqifa Bani Sa'ida in Medina 50 years earlier in the year 11 AH, by depriving Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, of his right of political leadership of the Ummah, as was proclaimed by the Prophet at Qadir Khum. The sermon of Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, stunned the filthy tyrant, and as the people of Syria, shocked at the unpardonable crime he had committed, started weeping. He ordered the Muazzin, or caller to prayer, to recite the Azan, although it was not time yet for the ritual prayer, nor was the place ritually clean to hold the prayer. When the Muazzin said, "Allahu Akbar," Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, said, "You have acknowledged the greatness of the Great One, who cannot be measured and cannot be perceived by senses. There is nothing greater than Allah." When the Muazzin recited, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah," which means, "I testify there is no God except Allah," Imam Zain al-Abidin said, "My hair, my skin, my flesh, my blood, my brain, and my bones bear witness that there is no God but Allah." When the Muazzin chanted, "Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," which means, "I testify Muhammad is the messenger of Allah," Imam Zain al-Abidin turned to Yazid and asked him, "O Yazid, is Muhammad your grandfather or mine? If you say that he is yours, then you are a liar. And if you say that he is mine, then why did you kill his grandson and family?" Suddenly there was great tumult in the tyrant's court on hearing what the prophet's great-grandson had said. Earlier, the sermon of the prophet's granddaughter, Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her, had already shaken the tyrant's court to its very foundations. Some of the passages from her memorable sermon that meant proclamation of victory for the mission of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, in the camp of the despicable enemy read, "O you, the son of freed slaves, Yabna Tulaga, is this your justice, that the ladies of your household remain veiled and we, the prophet's family, should be paraded thus? You have insulted our dignity. O Yazid, your misdeeds have clearly proven your rebellion towards God and the message of the prophet brought to this world. And this has proved beyond doubt that you refuse to honor the prophetic message revealed by God. This behavior of yours does not come as a surprise, for your ancestors chewed the liver of the prophet's uncle, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, and the wife of Abu Sufyan mutilated his body, had his liver taken out, sucked it, and quenched her thirst for vengeance at the Battle of Uhud. You belong to this clan which always opposed the prophet and collected armies from various clans to oppose him. The offspring of such monsters are the enemies of God and his prophet, and are expected to be merciless and deadly, since violence is part of your nature. O Yazid, you have done what you wish to do, but remember you are doomed to perish, and you will be cut to pieces. Then, on the day of judgment, you will be taken into the presence of the prophet, and you will be burned with the sins you have committed by shedding the blood of his progeny and disrespecting the sanctity of his family. You will be taken in the presence of the prophet to a place where his family members will be gathered, and you will undergo horrible punishment, and then there will be no escape for you and your companions." The noble captives of the prophet's household, peace be upon them, through their sermons turned the tables on the tyrant Yazid, and although with patience they suffered all the calamities, their bold statements unmasked hypocrisy, and in the process universalized and internationalized the genuine teachings of Islam, for the protection of which Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, had chosen to drink the elixir of martyrdom rather than acknowledge the illegal and un-Islamic rule of the tyrant Yazid. That is the reason we continue to commemorate the tragedy of Karbala, discourses on which during the months of Muharram and Safar strengthens faith and exposes injustice and falsehood in every age and in every place.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
February 8, 2010. I saw nothing but beauty, Zainab al-Kubra. On the day of Ashura, Zainab al-Kubra watched many of her dear ones go to the battlefield to get martyred. She watched Hussein ibn Ali, Abbas, Ali Akbar, Qasim, her children, and other dear ones go to the battlefield. After they were martyred, she went through all those pains. The invasion of the enemy, disrespect, and the responsibility to take care of the surviving children and women. Is it possible to compare the enormity of this tragedy with physical pain? But when she was faced with these difficulties, Zainab al-Kubra did not tell God to save her. She did not say, "Oh my Lord, save me." While the shredded body of her brother lay in front of her eyes, tells God, "O God, accept this sacrifice from us." When she was asked to describe what she had seen, she replied, "I did not see anything but beauty." All those tragedies were beautiful to Zainab al-Kubra because they were from and for God, because they were supposed to promote the word of God.
انا مظلوم حسين انا مظلوم حسين انا مظلوم حسين انا مظلوم حسين انا لاتشان
Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, made the army of reason overcome the army of ignorance.
انا لاتشان انا
لاتشان Zainab entered the heart of threats for the sake of Allah the Exalted. February 8, 2010. What Zainab did was divine, that is to say, she went into the heart of threats and hardships for the sake of Allah the Exalted. It behooves us to know and to understand our glorious religious history, which has been a source of intellectual blessings so far, and which will hopefully benefit us until the end of time. Zainab played an unparalleled role on the way to Karbala with Imam Hussein, on the day of Ashura, with all those hardships, and after Imam Hussein had been martyred. It is impossible to find a similar figure in history. Later on, numerous events took place during her captivity in Kufa and in Sham. Because of these great selfless efforts, Zainab al-Kubra gained a prominent position before Allah the Exalted, and this is something that we cannot describe.
Guiding me from all the ways that were wrong.
World with reporters.
Kabul International Airport, which almost 1 week after the departure of the last batch of U.S. forces from the country, is not yet ready to resume its international flights. U.S. forces have intentionally left behind some military and non-military equipment in different parts of Kabul International Airport, a move that took the Taliban some extra time to make the airport operational for domestic flights.
Now we are inside a vehicle of the special unit of Taliban known as Badri 313 Special Forces, and we are going to get to the military part of Kabul International Airport.
American Chinook helicopters are seen in the military section of the airport. The U.S. forces have destroyed the military hardware as much as they could. They have done this to dozens of military vehicles. However, Taliban officials say they plan to fix and use all military hardware as much as possible.
The defeat of the U.S. was a great victory to us. We don't care about damaged military hardware because we will either fix and use them or keep them as a lesson to any other invader.
Furthermore, top Taliban officials described the destruction of military hardware by U.S. forces as their last move toward destroying the national assets of Afghans.
The Americans haven't left any usable military hardware in the airport in order to limit our capabilities, but our nation will go ahead and rebuild their country's infrastructures again.
Despite the fact that the U.S. has damaged the airport, the Taliban say they have already managed to attract foreign investments, mainly from some regional countries, including Qatar and Turkey, to rebuild the hardware to make the airport operational once again. Sayed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Lebanon is in a day of national mourning after the passing of head of the Supreme Islamic Shiite Council in Lebanon at the age of 85. Sheikh Abdel Amir Qabalan was viewed by those who knew him as not only a religious figure, but a national figure who strove for the best interest of the country.
Lebanon's problem doesn't lie in its religious or sectarian diversity, but in some corrupt officials who hide behind their sects and call on their followers to move away from their genuine belief. Sheikh Qabalan, along with other clerics, exerted all efforts to keep the sectarian diversity as national treasure. Lebanon cannot be a transit area for the Zionists or the U.S. It should be a symbol of resistance and national pride as he wanted.
The deceased cleric was known for his moderation and therefore his impact on mediating talks between Lebanese political groups.
The demise of Sheikh Qabalan comes at a critical time for Lebanon, which is unprecedented in Lebanon's history. Lebanon needs such figures at this stage. He was someone open to all sides in Lebanon, whether political or religious. He had always called for solving our internal crisis peacefully. Also, he was a supporter of the resistance.
In a statement, the Speaker of the Parliament, Nabih Birri, stressed that Ayatollah Qabalan followed in the footstep of Imam Musa Sadr in moderation, coexistence, and resisting deprivation and occupation.
Ayatollah Sheikh Qabalan's demise is a great loss for Lebanon and the Muslim world. We all know he was among the close companions of Sayyid Musa al-Sadr, and together they worked for the poor and the oppressed. They established the Supreme Islamic Shiite Council, which serves as a center for congregation and dialogue for all Lebanese. We pray that this sad occasion could push the Lebanese officials to put differences aside and quickly form a cabinet, since Lebanon is in dire need for an active government.
Caretaker Prime Minister Hassan Diab declared Tuesday the day of the funeral procession for the spiritual leader as a national holiday.
Throughout his life, Sheikh Qabalan called on everyone to preserve the resistance in Lebanon and Palestine. He also preached unity among the Lebanese and Muslims, a move which made him a mediator on many occasions. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
As the world battles extraordinary refugee crisis for decades, hundreds of Afghans who have arrived in India after the Taliban take over of their country. They have been protesting outside the UN refugee office in New Delhi, demanding refugee status, justice, and protection for their women and children. Experts say India is not a signatory to the 1951 UN Refugee Convention or the 1967 protocols relating to the status of refugees. Therefore, it would be a challenging task to deal with another refugee influx. In India, where internal migration has been one of the most challenging tasks for the country due to huge population and possible mismanagement of the refugee policies. Observers say another refugee exodus could be a hard job for the country, considering its complex bureaucratic registration process. They say the country needs a uniform refugee policy. As India has no specific program for refugees, it allows the UNHCR to operate a program for them. Based on reports, thousands of Afghans are registered with the UN Refugee Agency, but there are many who are still demanding the refugee status despite arriving in India a decade ago. Experts say now the new influx might compel India to rethink its refugee policy.
Like many other nations and countries, India is home to a large group of and large chunk of refugees who come from their countries of origin to seek protection. But the confusion arises when we come to the mechanism, how India governs its refugees. In India, they have not a sound mechanism which can deal and which can protect these minorities.
A decade ago, scores of Afghan refugees arrived in India, leaving their war-torn country, but they still have trouble in accessing basic services like education, healthcare, and employment. Many are now demanding financial assistance due to lack of income. Others say they would return to their country, but are skeptical and still reeling from the violent past.
I think we have no future as the whole world is silent on our plight. The memories of violence still haunts us. I have a refugee card, but it does not help me as it should as a refugee. I urge the UN and the international community to pay urgent attention to us. We are worried for our future as our fate remains uncertain.
Despite India's rich history of ties with Afghanistan and home to hundreds of thousands of refugees from across the globe, the country has no clear-cut policy for refugees or any domestic law. Experts say by framing a concrete refugee law, India would be able to appropriately protect the rights of refugees. Munawar Zaman, New Delhi.
Talks over the revival of the 2015 nuclear deal have faced a three-month hiatus following Iranian elections in June that brought Ebrahim Raisi to power. The European parties to the multilateral accord are now urging Iran to come back to negotiations. The new Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, says resuming the talks is on his agenda, but that they should not be held under Western pressure, and the U.S. must first lift all its sanctions against Iran.
We'll never run away from negotiations, but what the Westerners are trying to do, what Americans are trying to do, what they're pursuing is that they want to apply pressure. I mean, you could either have talks and dialogue, but at the same time, if you have pressure, well, what kind of negotiations are they? I mean, we need to have negotiations without pressure. That's not negotiation with pressure. So the threats that they are making against our people, these brutal sanctions, economic sanctions that they have imposed, this is not the issue of negotiations. I mean, that we're talking about.
Six rounds of talks on restoring the deal have so far been held in Austria's capital, Vienna, since April. The discussions are aimed at bringing the U.S. and Iran back to full compliance after Washington unilaterally